Westchester Talk Radio is broadcasting live.
Adventure Girl, explore your world.
Live from City Center at White Plains, Westchester Talk Radio presents the 20th edition of Fran's World. This is Jim Cleefield speaking. Fran's World is produced by Shark Creative and made possible by Entergy, Indian Point Energy Center, Hightower, Westchester. Your wealth is managed to a fiduciary standard. White Plains Hospital, exceptional every day. Westchester County Office of Economic Development, Robeson, the house that service built, and Accorda Therapeutics, Life Science. Now, don't forget, please download the Westchester Talk Radio app on iTunes through the App Store at Westchester Talk. You can like us on Facebook at Westchester Talk Radio, and you can follow us on Instagram. We are at Shark Creative. And now, the show starring the woman who really loves to talk. She's the world's fastest talking woman. She lives in her world, and you're welcome to it. It's Fran's World. And now, here's your host, Fran Capo.
Hey, how are you guys? All right, so we are here, as Jim said, live in City Center. And we just had a whole bunch of kids here, which was really cute, from Spark Inc. Yeah, I'm thinking Westchester Talk Radio. We got a shark there. We've got so many things
that's
happening
here.
That's
with a P, not an H.
Yeah, right, exactly. Now, here's the cool thing. Well, you know we're live from City Center, so you may hear music in the background. And you know the show's always about humor, health, happiness, and following your dreams. Well, it's also about being able to take any situation, whether it negative or positive, and use it to your advantage. So I am going to tell you that the music behind me is some type of hypnotic music that only puts positive thoughts into your mind. Whether that's true or not, I can't tell you. All I know is we have no way of figuring out where the music's coming from, and we don't know how to turn it off. So if you go, why does she have that music on? Now you'll understand. Okay, so that's what's happening to it. And apparently the guy is singing in many languages. Okay, so there you go. All right, hopefully he's not saying something bad in another language. I have no clue. They moved where we normally are today. Anyway, how are you, Jim? How are you, Matt?
How are you, Fran?
Oh, we're doing great today.
Oh, good. Well, all right. So I'm just going to let you guys know, because we're starting a little bit late, and I want to let you know, because our guest is already here, waiting and eager, and I can't wait to talk to her. So I do have a comedy show coming up tomorrow night at the Knights of Columbus in Carmel, where I think we're almost sold out, but maybe we could squeeze one or two more people in. Fantastic comics lined up. We have Rob Falcone, Bill Chang, and Mike Egan, so it's going to be a great show, and of course, I'm there hosting it, but I am doing something very different that I've never done before. So you guys know that I do comedy shows, and you know that I get hired by corporations around the world to do motivational speaking and to do messaging points and creativity and marketing. And I also do storytelling nights where I do, talk about climbing Kilimanjaro. So I was asked to perform at a vaudeville theater on Sunday, April 7th in St. James at the Cauldron Theater. But this is the cool thing. I said, well, why do I have to do one of them? Why can't I just combine all three? So I'm doing a show, a one-woman show called Love, Laughter, and Light, that's going to combine my stand-up comedy, my daring adventures, my motivational speaking. It's going to be unscripted, and it's going to be for an hour long, and then I'm baking cookies. Not there. I'm going to bake them before. And then people can have the cookies, and they're gluten-free, by the way. And they're not fat. They're gluten-free. And so, hey, listen.
If you wound up baking them there, it would be like that Broadway show, Waitress.
Yeah, that'll happen. And that's true. Right, exactly. I'll have to bring my first guest with me. Okay. So anyway, so I just wanted to say this. So if anybody wants to go, the show is called Love, Laughter, and Light, Sunday, April 7th, from noon to 2 p.m. It's a one-time only event, unless it goes really, really well, and then maybe I'll do it more and at different places, at the Cauldron Theater, which is at 176 2nd Street in St. James, New York. And you could go to St. James, celebratestjames.org to get tickets or to RSVP. Boy, I tell you, it's like we have trucks coming through here today.
It's very busy here today. Yeah. It's extremely busy.
I, actually, I didn't want to tell you people, we're performing on the highway, okay? And there's a truck driver behind us with his music on, and we can't get him to turn it off. So we're coming to you, the people. Anyway, all right, I am excited to bring our first guest to you guys. Jim, actually, is the one who told me about my first guest, Melissa. And her name is Melissa Eboli. Am I saying that right? Okay, good. A.K.A. Chef Via. Via Melissa worked in sales and marketing for nearly 15 years, and the last 7 of those years were spent selling high-end kitchen appliances for Fisher and Paco.
One of their refrigerators, in fact. I have one of their refrigerators.
Fisher, oh, good. Right, maybe Melissa was one of them that sold. You know, maybe she sold you a refrigerator and you didn't know.
That's very well. True.
That could happen. So anyway, afterwards she was like, you know, I don't know. This job is good. I like the job. Nothing against it, but it's very stressful. And so as a hobby, she would love to cook. And she started cooking and making these recipes that dealt with her allergies, specifically gluten and dairy free. She's my kind of girl, because everybody who knows me knows I'm gluten, dairy, and soy free. And her friends loved the food. They said, Melissa, we love this food. And so she would make it for them. And then they told their friends, and it got bigger and bigger. And then everybody wanted to make her food. So now we fast forward to 2016. Her mom, unfortunately, like my mom, was diagnosed with breast cancer. She's doing great today, which is always good to hear. And Melissa realized, you know what? Life is short. It's precious. And why am I going to spend 50 hours a week doing something I don't enjoy? I'm going to do something that I love. So she enrolled in a culinary nutrition program to get certified as a nutritional chef, so people don't go, yeah, you don't know what you're doing. She'd go, yeah, I do know what I'm doing. And she had a very loose business plan, but followed her intuition, which is a very gutsy move for people, you know, because it's a little scary. But while she was schooling, she started executing healthy cooking workshops and demos, and that led her to becoming a personal chef, and now she has catering, and now she does over 100 events all over, and she's published in over 90 times for her expertise in that cooking space, and she's been included on Dr. Oz. He's very nice. I've been on Dr. Oz. He's very nice. Multiple times, and she's been published in the likes of Reader's Digest and Huffington Post. Okay, you know what? I don't want to do the interview about her by myself, so I'm going to introduce her. How are you, Melissa?
I'm great, Fran. How are you doing today?
I'm doing fantastic. So let's just delve right into this. You had this like really cushy job, right? But a combination of your few food sensitivities, like the gluten, dairy, and, you know, well, not soy. You don't say soy, but I do gluten, dairy, and soy. Plus your mom's breast cancer diagnosis made you reanalyze thinking, right? So what transition, I'm sorry, what made you say, I'm ready to take that leap?
Well, my health was actually starting to deteriorate, not nearly as bad as my mom's, obviously, but I was under a chronic state of stress, and, you know, that coupled, you know, with my food sensitivities and other, like, chronic fatigue, anxiety, and it was a whole domino effect of health issues, and my job came with a lot of accountability. I loved everybody that I worked with, but the stress just wreaked so much havoc on my health, and I just wanted to have a better quality of life and not feel like I was almost in a debilitating state. So I just, you know, the first role for me was quitting as a caretaker. And then I was like, you know what? I'm not working right now. Let me just go to this culinary program, see what may come of it. And it was just kind of like I threw something on the wall, see what stuck or would stick. And then I've just kind of been riding the wave ever since.
See, that's great, because you were willing to take the risk. And that's what I always tell people. Like, you know, nobody's going to come along and go, all right, look, I'm going to give you $100,000 to just leave your job. You have, and that's, people don't understand. Like when they go, oh, that person made a lot of money with their own business. Well, that person worked 80 hours a week, 90 hours a week to build it up to that point. You're willing to take those chances? Go right ahead. But they have to be able to do that. Now, how did you find out? Is it that you just overall had a general feeling of not feeling well? Or did you actually, like, do you know about the LEAP test?
I have not taken the LEAP test. I pretty much found out about my allergies and sensitivities. Basically, every time I ate something, I felt sick to my stomach. Although I did have some tests through the doctors, through blood work, that they said, you know, I don't show signs of being celiac. However, through the elimination diet, so by taking those you know, triggers out of my diet for a few weeks and then reintroducing them and then still feeling sick to my stomach is how I realized that now, I was sensitive.
And for people who don't know, first of all, there's a difference between allergies mm-hmm. and food sensitivities. So when she was talking about celiac, mm-hmm. like if somebody who has celiac eats gluten, they could die. Okay, that's a difference. If you have an insensitivity, you just don't feel good. But I'm talking about really don't feel good.
Correct.
And it creates inflammation in your body because you have mm-hmm. Hashimoto's, so I know that. So I'm not allergic to any of the things mm-hmm. per se, so I won't, you know, like, you know. But I would all of a sudden, you know, go, oh, no, my stomach's acting up again. And then all mm-hmm. night long, you're sitting there on a, you know, inclined pillow trying to get, you know, the gas
totally.
Out. You know, and it's like, you know, that is not a good situation. For your partner, mm-hmm. you know, they're like, oh, Lord. So, you know, so you definitely don't want that. Anyway, the recipes that you have, mm-hmm. right, you didn't expect it to be such a laid-back show, but you also
all
didn't
good.
Expect we were going to be in a truck stop. No, but...
I roll with the punches. It's all good.
And definitely, you're definitely like that. So you have a gluten and dairy lifestyle were the ones that you looked up. Now, do you have any autoimmune conditions that you know about?
Well, I do have chronic fatigue. I also have multiple chemical sensitivity, which depending who you're talking to, whether it's a traditional medical doctor or a naturopath,
yeah.
correct. Some believe that it exists, some don't. And then by working with some naturopaths, they do say that I have Epstein-Barr, which is...
Oh, okay. So, mm-hmm. yeah. So just for people, you know, who don't have any of these things, autoimmune is basically auto. Your body attacks itself. And a lot of these things create inflammation in your body. Mm-hmm. And when it causes the inflammation in your body reacts very badly. And we're talking about like a toxicity and not like, you know, you have to have somebody walk up to you and, you know, like, shoot you full of lead, but we're talking about, and I didn't mean in a gun sense, I meant like, you know, you're drinking out of a lead pipe. I know you got it, but just for the audience there. Mm-hmm. And oh good, the trapdoor singers left. Okay, so Lord, oh Lord. Okay, anyway, so you put your mom on a special diet for her cancer. Mm-hmm. And explain to people what that is, because my mom had cancer and my dad had cancer and my sister again. Mm-hmm. So explain to what kind of diet that is.
So that's actually a two-part answer. So you actually just kind of touched on that with talking about inflammatory. So I actually, you know, encouraged her to start eating an anti-inflammatory diet. So, you know, we're taking out like the gluten, the dairy, as well as the soy, because her breast cancer was estrogen dominant.
Right.
And with, you know, having soy in food, that would obviously increase her estrogen. So I took the soy out to help reduce her estrogen. Coupled with when you have cancer, your body is in a very acidic state.
Yep.
So I also had her eating more alkaline foods and cruciferous vegetables.
Give examples for people, because
of
some
course.
People might not know alkaline.
Of course. So alkaline and acidity is, you know, your body has a pH balance. And when you're in an acidic state, you know, you're very inflamed. So, you know, somebody like me that also has asthma, you know, if I'm in an acidic state, my asthma might flare up, or I might have more joint pain or stomach discomfort, versus when you're more in an alkaline state. Also, actually, one more touch on acidic is you're more prone to getting sick because your immune system is run down.
Mm-hmm.
As opposed to when you're in an alkaline state, your body is in a much healthier state. Your pH balance is more set. So some examples of, you know, foods to eat if you're eating more alkaline would be, you know, cruciferous vegetables, leafy greens.
What's a cruciferous?
Oh, sorry.
Everybody knows.
My apologies. So a cruciferous vegetable, meaning broccoli, cauliflower, Brussels sprouts, you know, to name a few.
Okay. And just so people know, like, I have a lot of times when I'm, you know, going to dinner, I order, like, hot water and lemon.
Mm-hmm.
And people go, oh, but lemon is citrus fruit.
Mm-mm.
But lemon inside the body acts alkaline.
Correct.
So that's why I do hot water with lemon, because mm-hmm. it alkalines the body. You know, some people will turn to things like Tums and things like that. But the problem with that is they have artificial flavors in them and they have other things. I actually took a Tums one night and woke up and had a black tongue. And I was like, what the heck happened overnight? And I looked it up and it's, oh yeah, has a side effect. Well, maybe they should have that on the label. Because, you know, you wake up and you see yourself with a black tongue. You're like, what the hell is this?
You're looking like a chow chow.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, when did I become a dog overnight? You know, what the hell? You know? So, And the other thing, like, when people don't realize is, like, a lot of supplements can help also mm-hmm. with your eating, but grapefruit is not a good supplement to take, because a grapefruit a lot of times makes it where you can't absorb the supplements in your body. And just like things, and as a chef, you know this, mm-hmm. certain things that you have to mix together, like turmeric, doesn't get absorbed into your body unless you're taking black pepper with it. Mm-hmm. And so people go, oh, I'm taking turmeric. I'm like, yeah, well, that's great. But if you're not taking something that makes it stay in your body, it's just going to run through your body like a funnel. So tell me, what kind of foods, like, give us, like, if we were catering from you, mm-hmm. you know, like, what kind of menu do you have so people can get an idea? Because people think gluten, they think limit, mm-hmm. but it doesn't necessarily mean
no,
that.
No, and that's actually one of the things that I emphasize on as a chef is that, you know, just because you're eating healthy doesn't mean you have to just live off of egg whites, chicken, and salad and eat like a rabbit. It's quite Perfect. The contrary. So I focus heavily on, first and foremost, flavor, followed by nutrition, and then, of course, being a caterer, presentation. So specifically, some of the things that I make, like one of my favorite appetizers might be a beet salad cup with, you know, fresh roasted beets, a fresh orange dressing, maybe with some chopped up walnuts and hemp seeds on top. And perchance, I actually use, let's say, tofu to mimic looking like feta cheese. Mm-hmm. So it has like white and it looks very pretty. But then with the flavor of the orange dressing, you know, it just tastes amazing. And then a typical entree would be perhaps a chili custard cod, and then, you know, paired with, let's say, a lemon paprika asparagus, but then something that's, let's say, a traditional carb base would be a gluten-free, dairy-free stuffed mushrooms. Or let's say if I was making Italian, I would use chickpea crumbs to make gluten-free chicken cutlets or gluten-free chicken franchise with dairy-free butter. And then I love, although I'm not a pastry chef, I do love making dairy-free and vegan desserts. One of my favorite go-tos are either lemon poppy balls, which are like little dessert balls that I use vegan protein powder inside, or a chocolate mint avocado mousse. I also make a homemade Nutella, which a lot of times people don't even realize.
Me and Matt just jumped up with.
And it's dairy and gluten free.
All right, then I have to taste. See, right away, she already sold me on it. Forget you. I'm not going to say the store we're next to. But anyway, because they may have gluten free stuff. But,
totally.
See, you just described a menu that if people don't know, and by the way, a lot of people still don't understand. Gluten is just that you're not having like barley and wheat, mm-hmm. Because people are like, what is the gluten?
Yeah.
But the reason also, and that menu you described was so delicious. My stomach is growling. And I'm serious. I mean, it just sounded so delicious in my head. I'm going, man, maybe she's the one I need to get to cater my next party. Because I always tell everybody at my birthday parties, bring healthy food, you know? And mm-hmm. I'm sorry, folks. I'm wrapped up in the cable, and I'm trying not to let you know. But I'm okay. There we go. But the thing is, when you, like, for example, people go, oh, now I can't have Nutella. No, you just proved, Melissa, mm-hmm. just proved you can have it. You just don't have, listen, I am the first person to say that I am like, I was addicted to a Nutella. I loved it. Mm-hmm. But then when I started becoming very ingredient conscious, I was like, oh my gosh, there's such bad things in mm-hmm. here. But if you can make a Nutella, mm-hmm. me and Matt are coming over right after the show. That's what I'm saying. Guys, Melissa can create stuff for you. You have workshops, right?
I do, yeah. So I work with the likes of Itoro Appliance, for instance, in Norwalk, Connecticut. Once to twice a month, I do free cooking demos there. So, you know, if anybody wants to follow me on my social media, I always post and
promote. What is your social media?
So on Instagram as well as on Facebook, you can find me under Chef Via Melissa. That's V-I-A-M-E-L-I-S-S-A.
Okay, Chef Via Melissa. Now, you have a website? website?
I do, yes. So my website is Via's Kitchen. That's VIASKITCHEN.com.
And, okay, so if you go to Via's Kitchen, do you have where they could either know about your workshops, mm-hmm. where they could hire you for catering,
yes.
where they could learn, I mean, and you have a book coming out, too.
I do, yeah. It's a super exciting project that I've actually been working on for a little over a year, and I just got word with a call earlier this week that it should be out within the next month or two, and we're targeting May at the latest, because the book is actually Eating for Anti-Anxiety as Well as Mental Wellness.
Oh, that's great.
And May is actually Mental Wellness Awareness Month.
Perfect.
So, yes.
So, well, see, guys, so there's so many, you don't realize how important food is. People are like, no, I just eat it. And sometimes people eat and they don't even savor the food they're eating. They're just mm-hmm. like gobbling it down instead of, especially when somebody like you, a chef, is really putting the love and heart and everything into totally. It. You're like, can you slow down there and not look like the horse at the corner who's eating the food? Can you enjoy what you're eating here, please? Mm-hmm. So I can't wait to try your food. Mm-hmm. And
I can't wait to serve it to you.
There we go. See, that's a good thing. And now, I don't know this. So do you have on your website, like if, let's say, instead of you making it, if I wanted to buy a jar of Nutella, do you have that type of stuff available?
Not yet, but I actually have been toying around with the idea of some of my key recipes to start packaging and selling them maybe in the next year or two.
Okay.
So that'll be the next time I'm on your show. I'll have
something
to promote.
Exactly. So we'll have some, and you have to bring some, you know.
Of course.
Exactly. And then the music playing, we'll figure out what's happening with that.
Yes.
Now, we just have like one or two more. We have like one more minute. So I just want, we know how people could reach you. And I also just want to say, like, do you just recommend to anybody a typical food plan as a chef? Like, a good friend of mine, fitness celebrity, John mm-hmm. Bastow, always says, eat breakfast like a king, lunch like a prince, dinner like a pauper. Mm-hmm. And because he's saying because of the calories.
Yes.
So the gluten-free recipes that you do, are they also good for people who are, you know, watching their weight?
Oh, yeah, 100%. You know, even using myself as an example, when I became...
She's very thin, by the way, and she looks great. So,
and on that notion, when I became gluten-free, especially, because dairy came first about 5 years ago, and then gluten was about 3 years ago, I didn't plan, want, or anticipate to lose weight. And just by switching from eating gluten to non-gluten food, I ended up losing like 7 pounds, which I didn't need to, but it just happened just naturally by the anti-inflammatory aspect of not eating gluten.
Right, because that was part of the thing that was doing it. Now, just so you know, guys, not all gluten-free food is healthy, mm-hmm. but the way she's preparing it, Melissa is preparing it, is healthy, because you heard the ingredients she was including in that, which was the beets and the tofu and the fruits and the vegetables and things like that, and also knowing the combination. Anyway, once again, how could they reach you?
So they can follow me on Instagram at Chef Via Melissa, or you can go to my website at viaskitchen.com.
Great. This is Fran Capo on Fran's World Live at City Center. We'll be right back.
At Indian Point, we've helped power Westchester and New York City for about 4 decades. Recently, as part of an agreement with New York State, we are working toward an early and orderly shutdown of the facility by 2021. Until then, we'll continue safely generating about 25% of the reliable, round-the-clock electricity that powers the city and Westchester, all with virtually no greenhouse gas emissions. Safety is, as it always has been, the top priority for everyone at the plant. We will continue to keep Indian Point fully staffed, and full-time inspectors from the U.S. Nuclear Regulatory Commission will monitor our daily operations. We'll also continue to play an important role in our community as a taxpayer and active participant in local charities. Indian Point Energy Center is still working for you, and it's our honor to continue to serve the people of New York. If you have questions about our ongoing operations, please visit safesecurevital.com.
Somers to Yonkers, Tarrytown to Portchester.
We've got Westchester covered.
We are Westchester Talk Radio.
Adventure Girl, explore your world.
And This is Fran Capo. You're listening to Fran's World. We're back here live at City Center in Westchester. And this is Westchester Talk Radio, broadcasting live, as I said, from City Center by Shark Creative and made possible by our fantastic sponsors. And listen, they have to be fantastic sponsors because they understand the importance of the show. Entergy, Indian Point Energy Center, Lipolis Electric, Genesis Exhibits, which does trade show displays, facelifts, modeling featuring fine paints of Europe, and the White Plains YMCA. I used to belong to a YMCA. I love YMCAs. Anyway, hold on.
I think the village people did, too.
Yeah, the village people. Hey, they made a whole living about the YMCA. Should I get up and dance, Lisa? You over there? You want to dance? Anyway, we have a guest on the line, and I'd like to introduce her. And again, Jim was very helpful this week in providing me, going, Fran, we've got these two people, these two fantastic women, and I want you to put them on the show. I mean, he didn't force me, you know, or whatever, but I just said, well, let me look, and I looked, and they are fantastic. So on the line, I have Lisa Zarcone, or is it Zarcone?
Zarcone.
Okay, good. We have Lisa Zarcone. She's an author, child and mental health advocate, public speaker, blogger, an inspirationalist. The woman does a lot of things. She's the author of The Unspoken Truth, a memoir of her life story growing up in a severely mentally ill mother and the torturous road that they traveled together. The story is written through the eyes of Lisa as a child, giving the reader a firsthand look at abuse through the child's perspective. Lisa's also a Massachusetts National Ambassador, Regional Director for the New England area of the National Association of Adult Survivors of Child Abuse. She uses as a platform to speak publicly about child abuse safety and mental health awareness and the stigmas. She has firsthand strong voice for all those, you know, who feel voiceless, namely the child. She also has a Facebook inspirational page where people can come to find help and interact with her followers, which is key because sometimes people don't know where to speak out. Her book can be found on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, Kindle, and in many libraries, including the Lillian Goldman Library at Yale Law School. So listen, Yale Law School feels this book is good enough. In New Haven, Connecticut, which I'm performing at Monday, she advocates daily for education and change regarding the safety and care of children in similar situations. And I do have to say, before I bring Lisa on, I read the book from cover to cover, and it was fantastic. I actually read it in one sitting. I'm going to be doing a review on the book when I get 1 minute to sit still. And I will, but we're going to talk about the book now. Lisa, welcome to the show.
Oh, Fran, thank you so much for having me. And thanks, Jim, for getting me connected with Fran. I appreciate it.
You're absolutely welcome. We're delighted to have you.
So, oh, thank you.
Let's delve right into the story because I want people to understand, you know, when we say through a child's perspective, what exactly happened. Now, the name of the book, like I said, is called The Unspoken Truth. And I love your cover, by the way, of a dark house in the back with a little girl, you know, covering
thank
her lips
in the front. That was my vision for the book, so it really came out really well. I was really proud of it.
Yeah, it did. And and you know, someone reading it, see, the thing I liked about the book is because you're hearing it through what the little girl was feeling, you finally get a feel, like sometimes things are happening and adults don't realize, like, hey, look at all the built-up emotions that are going through the child. And you lost your brother John, who was your best friend and protector, when you were just six. He was nine and he died of leukemia. And your parents, your dad, unfortunately, was looking to you for comfort. And you're six. Your mom's not dealing with it well or comforting you. So you at six become the caretaker of the adults. And explain what to people, without giving away the whole book, but explain, like, how hard that is.
Well, first of all, let me say, first of all, the title, The Unspoken Truth, you know, that title alone says it a lot. I mean, that was my story. That was what was never told because I was always silent. But writing it through the child's perspective is really an interesting road to take, because first of all, looking back and having to relive those memories, but really taking it in the child's mind, like you said, right in the moment of this abuse or you know, sorrow of losing my brother, you know, writing it in the moment, is it was really hard. I had to tap into some old memories that hurt, But, I mean, it was the way that I had always meant for my story to be, because I wanted people to hear the child's voice, because children are voiceless. And, you know, many adults are going through their own things, not realizing what the child is thinking. So that was my goal. I want people to understand the child's thoughts. And it's a pretty raw read, I'll say that.
Yeah, it is, because you don't hold back, which is good. Now, your mom, explain, because when, you know, people hear mental illness, you know, sometimes they think always like somebody's got to wind up in a mental institution, which is not necessarily the case. But they have to understand that your mom just was not catering to your needs. She was oblivious that you were even going through any pain. She would always tell you, like, kind of like, buck up, you know, like, hey, get over it. Stop crying.
Yes, you know, it's, mental illness does play a big factor in my story and our family. And, you know, my mom struggled with mental illness. But then after the loss of my brother, you know, my dad always said the day that my brother died is the day we lost my mother as well. And that is such a true statement, because we did lose her that day. She never came back fully and lost in her own mind most of the time. And yes, I was this struggling child, silent, wandering, watching, feeling, you know, and taking in all this pain and not being able to express it anywhere. So it was a very hard way to live. Yes,
it is, because what happens is the kid becomes just an observer with no outlet. And anybody knows, when you take things, sweep it under a rug, it's not like the dirt is gone. It just builds up. And then you lash out, and you talk about that afterwards, like in your teenage years. But your mom, without giving away something, she was like forcing you to have a boyfriend way before you were ready, and was not even aware that this boyfriend was beating you and raping you and so abusive.
Yes. And, you know, I'm going to take a step back for a moment when you talk about, like, the growing up years, the silence. I call that the era of silence, because it was in the 70s, you know. In that time, nobody talked about anything. And the stigmas of mental illness were huge. I mean, far more than they are today. So back then, everything was pushed under the carpet, and you learned how to be silent. You were taught to be silent. And then growing into the angry, you know, young adult. And then my mom, with her own mental illness and falling through the cracks, you know, with being helped, she made poor decisions. She brought poor decision making, which brought people into our world that were not good, like you're speaking of. She's forcing me to have a boyfriend that I did not want, him claiming me as his own, and the torture and the abuse. It's all these steps that just, you know, as you're spiraling down. And yes, by the time I was a teenager, I was profusely angry.
Yeah, and then also you have a dad who just kind of pops in and out because he can't deal with everything that goes on yet. Obviously, both your mom and dad love you, but they don't realize they're abusing you. And that's the frustrating part, because what I wanted to ask you, I'll ask you now. So how do you forgive somebody who...
I'm sorry?
How do you forgive when somebody has obviously allowed abuse to happen, has created abuse, but at the same time, you know they're mentally ill, so, you know, they still did the harm, but it's like an alcoholic, you know, they still do the harm, but you go, well, it's an illness, but at the same time, they still do the harm. So how do you forgive when someone does the harm that has now made you, you know, who you are, but, you know...
That's a very good question, and it's a very hard question, because yes, you've been abused by somebody that you love, your parent, both my parents in different ways, yes. And then I think for myself, the only way I was able to forgive was to break it down and to look at this from their perspective. So with my mom, from the mental health perspective, and saying, my goodness, that's not truly my mother. This is the illness, and this is what happened because of the illness. So it took me years. I mean, it's not one of those overnight things where you say one day you're magically, you know, I forgive, it's all over.
Right.
It took years and a lot of work, but I was able to separate my mom from the illness. And when I got a good look at my mother, my true mother, I knew why I stood by her side, and I knew why I advocated for her, because it was the right thing to do. And her illness, like, robbed her of her life. And then with my dad, I looked at his perspective. He lost everything, his wife and his son, the white picket fence, the 60s lifestyle of the perfect family, all gone in a day. And then he was lost and trying to find his way and left me behind. Yes. And that was horrific to me, that my dad would like feel like he forgot me. And he did, in a sense. But I was able to look at his perspective as well and say he was so lost that he had to fix himself before he could help me. And with that, I was able to give forgiveness to both my parents.
Yeah, I mean, I got to say, because I've dealt with people, I don't want to go into my personal story, but I've dealt with people who I've seen firsthand, you know, abuse from. And I don't know if I'm as... I once said to a priest, I understand that you're supposed to forgive. And he said, you're supposed to forgive. God wants you to forgive, but not walk over a bridge that is dynamite. And, you know, because I said, should I bridge the gap? And he goes, God doesn't want you to walk over a bridge that is dynamite. And so I forgive from afar because yes. I'm like, you know what? I could forgive that person. I don't necessarily have to make them a daily part of my life.
No, and you know, and forgiveness is a lot about for yourself. It's more about your self-healing.
Exactly. You know? Because hatred causes more acid to the person carrying the hatred within them than it does the other person doesn't even realize what they're doing half the time.
And you know, that hatred does suck you up. And you know, for a while, you know, in my teen years, I did have a lot of hatred. And it would consume me in different ways, and I would fight it off all the time. And that negativity just, you know, brings you down and leaves you in a very dark space. And when that happens, you miss out on life.
And you know what I love in the book, and then I want to talk about, you know, unfortunately, I always love, when I start talking to my guests, I always want them to be on for like, oh, I should have had her on for an hour. And the other thing that I wanted to say is that as a child, your brother came to you through a dream and he said, you know, that he never left you and he's right by your side. Having seen that, because it sounded in the book that you're somewhat of an intuitive. And so I wonder, did that, because at one point you said, hey, I'm not in these words, I'm not a doormat. You know what? I deserve better. And you, even despite that you had nobody to talk to, you found the inner strength to change the type of life that you had, which takes so much courage when you don't have somebody really to rely on. So did the fact of you seeing the spirits of your brother and the angels told your brother, you know, before, you know, I don't want to give away, like I said, the whole book, but when you did that, give you some comfort when you had nobody in the physical world to talk to?
Right. And, you know, that moment is very profound, and without giving away. And like you said in the book, you know, the moment my brother and I had together alone before he died, and then after he died, that, you know, when he came to me, I know it was real. I'm a very spiritual person, and I always felt that from him. Like, he always let me know he was there. And I truly believe, and I write about this, that he was my guardian angel. You know, he helped guide me, and I drew from his strength. In my inner strength to keep going, you know, it's that resilience of a child, you know, fighting back and saying, you know what, no matter what, I'm going to keep going. And that's what I did. And yes, looking in the mirror and talking about I deserve better, that moment was really profound for me because I realized that I was the only one who was going to make these changes happen for myself.
And you know what, the fact that you did that is so amazing. And I'm so glad that you go around and you speak to people about this, because when people speak and they have not had this, it's easy to say, just pull yourself out of it. But it's not easy when they don't really understand what it is living it day to day to day to day. And you did it, and I applaud you for that, that you've turned your life into something so positive from something so negative, and also are helping other people do that. Now, I do want to ask
you. I want to say thank you. Thank you for saying that. I really appreciate it.
No, I mean, because that is, you know, that's what my show's all about. It's humor, health, happiness, and finding your passion in life and helping people, you know, speaking from your heart. You're speaking from experience and heart. Now, where can people get your book?
Now, people can get my book on Amazon or Barnes & Noble online. You know, for people in Massachusetts area, there are some local bookstores, but the best place to get it is, and everyone's on Amazon. I think everyone has Amazon Prime at this point.
Right.
So Amazon and Barnes & Noble are probably the two best places.
And we
Kindle,
have
you know, for people who like Kindle.
Right. And it's, again, it's called The Unspoken Truth. by Lisa Zarcone, Z-A-R-C-O-N-E. You'll see the cover. And, you know.
And they can also find me on my website, lisazarcone.net. They can perfect. Get all my information there as well.
You beat me to it, and I'm the fast talker. You beat
I'm
me to
sorry?
It. Nah, that is totally fine. I mean, listen, I want you on the show so that people could read the book and be able to be motivated that, hey, if Lisa did it, I can do it. And that's.
You know, the thing, too, is, like, you know, when I go out and I advocate and I speak, and I just wanted to say this quickly, is that, you know, it's amazing how people, you know, are touched by my story and my experience on very different levels. So it's, you know, I always say there's something for everybody and anytime I do a presentation.
And what
it is about advocating.
And I do want to say this. A lot of people in life, and this is a line that Joel Osteen uses, you know, be a victor, not a victim. And
yes.
It is so key, because if you have a victim mentality, you cannot help yourself. But if you say, hey, I'm better than this. And I always say you have to learn how to be your own best cheerleader, which is what you did. And because of that, I want everybody to know you turned around your life, and you're happily married, you have kids, and, you know, you're teaching kids with your self-esteem. And, Lisa, I just wish you the best of luck with The Unspoken Truth by Lisa Zarcone. Check it out at Barnes & Noble. Go to her Facebook. Go to her website. Once again, your website is?
LisaZarcone.net.
Great. Thank you so much, Lisa, for being on. We'll be right back with more Fran's World.
Thank you, Fran.
Thank you. Live here at City Center.
Bye-bye.
Pasquale Ristorante from the heart of Italy.
Pasquale Ristorante is the perfect dining experience. Your favorite Italian comfort food plus the comforts of home away from home. Pasquale Ristorante has been treating you like family for nearly 20 years. And if you need catering, Pasquale will take care of it. Pasquale Ristorante, bringing family, friends, and food together.
Pasquale Ristorante treats you just like family. Pasquale Ristorante, an Italian specialty.
Pasquale Ristorante, 2 Putnam Avenue in Port Chester.
Westchester County better than we do.
We are Westchester Talk Radio.
Adventure Girl, explore your world.
And it's Fran's World, and you're listening to Fran's World on Westchester Talk Radio, broadcasting live from City Center, produced by Shark Creative and made possible by our fantastic sponsors, Entergy, Indian Point Energy Center, Durante Rentals, Reverso, Associates, you'd think I'd know this by now, J.P. McHale Pest Management, Michael Labriola, Inc., Salem Golf Club. And don't forget to download the Westchester Talk Radio app on iTunes through App Store at Westchester Talk. Like us on Facebook. You better like us, otherwise how are you going to listen to the show? And also, you can go to FranCapo.com, and you can follow me on Facebook and all the shows I'm at. And now we're going to continue on. Speaking of shows, my last guest today is a fantastic friend, but his name is Dr. Andrew Scarpati. He started his professional career as a sixth grade teacher in 1977. He began performing as a stand-up comedian and actor in 1978. And by 1980, he left the teaching profession for a career as a comedy producer and performer. In 1980, he created Comedy Cabaret, which is where I am a lot, a company that specializes in setting up comedy clubs. Currently, there are 3 comedy cabarets in the greater Philadelphia area. Earlier in his stand-up career, he worked with some of the biggest names in comedy, Jay Leno, Eddie Murphy, Kevin James, Ray Romano, just to name a few. You know those people, right, Matt? And of course, Frank Capo. He has acted in over a dozen commercials, and in 1994 landed a part on the TV show America's Most Wanted. Okay, he was not one of the actual people. He was an actor on America's Most Wanted, playing a police officer. In 1994, while studying acting in New York City, he enrolled in a self-hypnosis class. He was always curious about his hypnosis. He discovered that self-hypnosis was a valuable tool for self-improvement, which we talked about before earlier on the show. His interest in subconscious programming led him to the prestigious Hypnosis Institute in Manhattan, where he earned his basic and advanced degrees and his doctorate in clinical hypnotherapy from the American Institute of Hypnotherapy in Irvine, California. You know what? Listen, this guy's got a lot of credits. He's made a lot of people laugh, and he's helped a lot of people overcome obstacles. Andy Scarpati is one of my favorite people in the world, and he loves his performers, and of course, he loves his family. He loves laugh therapy. He loves hypnotherapy. He loves life, and hopefully, he loves being here on Fran's World. Welcome, Andy.
Greetings, welcome, and I just want to say up front, everyone listening to this is going to benefit in some way in their own life, because both Fran and myself love people, we love motivating people, we love helping people, so stay tuned and keep listening, because you're going to get some good information for your own personal life that you can use to make yourself feel better, you know, more motivated, and just a happier person.
And that's what it's about. I mean, you and I share that same philosophy that we're here on this planet to learn how to be happy. It sounds like a simple thing, but yet people struggle with it all the time.
Well, let me try to simplify it for everybody, okay? Because when in my hypnosis office, when I meet my clients, now, when I first started, I didn't have this idea, but as the years went on, I tried to simplify it. So when everybody comes into my office, one of the questions I always ask them, now you think about this, what is your greatest power? What is your greatest power? You know, when you ask somebody that, they're going, oh, what? You know, but you think about that for a second. Just let that mull over in your mind for a second. And I'm going to tell you the answer in a couple seconds, too, but I just want you to think about what that might be, my greatest power. And it's such a simple thing. Our greatest power is our power to choose. We've been given this God-given ability of free will, and that free will just means you have the ability to make a choice. Now, what happens in our lives is that as we go on in our lives and we do things, we start developing some kind of mental habits, and those mental habits can get in the way of making a positive choice for yourself. But if you break it down to its simplest form, it's just making positive choices for yourself. And that is a challenge for a lot of people. People come to me and they want to stop smoking, okay? So I always ask this question. Well, if somebody put a gun to your head, would you smoke a cigarette? And they always say no. So that means they could do it. They could do it on their own, but they haven't been able to get to that point yet in their life. And usually when you work with somebody like that, you help encourage them, motivate them that they can do it. Now, there is one other important thing to simplify this whole process. Now, listen to this. The two most important words that we say or we think about ourselves, what are the two most important words?
Are you asking me?
I'm going to ask you.
What are the two most important words? Well, for me, it's always I can.
He said I am?
No, I can or I
can.
I can.
Okay.
I can.
That's good. That's really close. I love that. You're very rare. Most people don't answer it that way. Most people don't know, but it's I am. Whatever you think after I am or whatever you say after yourself, I am, you're going to live up to or down to. So I teach my clients to pay attention to that. Pay attention to what you're saying about yourself, because we all know that as life goes on, we sometimes get into a little negative habit of saying, oh, I'm an idiot or I'm dumb or I'm stupid. No. Never. Never allow yourself to do that or your children. Never allow them to do that. And I'm telling you, if you start making these simple changes and being aware of this, it can make a huge impact on your life and everyone that comes into contact with you. Now, is that simple or what?
It is. And you know what? And it's funny because my mom, luckily for me, raised me like that, because she always said, like, you don't say, I want to be healthy. You say, I am health. You know, I am.
She was way ahead of the curve.
Oh, yeah. Well, she, and it's funny because she wanted to have me. She gave birth to me through hypnosis. And at that time, the doctor actually thought it was like some kind of witchcraft. And he was like, no, you can't do any of that, you know, hypnosis thing. And my mother was like, what are you talking about? I'm just kidding. But she used to take me to these Egyptian flame rituals when I was younger. And it was all talking about how the subconscious mind doesn't know the difference between reality and what you say is reality. So if you say, you know, I'm bad, it's going to reinforce that. Or if you say I'm good, it's going to reinforce that. Whatever you feed into your mind, which kind of goes into the whole thing with, you know, bringing into your vortex, bringing into your universe what you already believe, because like attracts like. But people, we just talked about this with our previous guest about how people don't realize they have to get out of that victim mentality that they have no control. They have the control. And it's as simple as saying, you know what? I'm not doing that anymore. And you can just turn it off, but you have to get them, like you said, to the point where they realize that they have that power.
Yes. Now, here's what happens is that we can do this, but what happens is people go through their lives. Something happens to them. I call this a life event. And this event, whenever it happens, can actually change their concept. I'm going to give you a simple example in my hypnotherapy office. I help a lot of people with various fears. And believe it or not, it's surprising to hear, but there's a lot of people that are afraid to drive a car. Now, when somebody comes in that has a fear of driving, sometimes they can't even drive here themselves. Somebody has to drive them here. And I do this session with them. And the session may take, it might take as long as 2 hours. And sometimes it takes longer. When I work, the way I set my clients up, I do not book a client like right after another client. I always leave a lot of time because I never know how long the session is going to take. I've had sessions take 3 hours. Normally, they're 90 minutes.
But see, that's really good. I want people to realize that. So Andy's not rushing somebody. Like, you go into a doctor and they go, all right, we got 15 minutes with you. He's allowing the process to happen in whatever time it takes to unfold.
Exactly. Now, talk about life events. This is what I mean. So I'll give you a typical example. When I first started, one of the first clients I ever had, and this is typical of almost anything to do with a fear or even a lack of self-confidence. A person came in, she goes, here's my thing. She goes, if I'm driving a car, if I know where I'm going, I'm fine. I can drive any place I want, I'm good. But if I don't know where I'm going, that's when I get like anxious and nervous. Now it's getting worse because I know like next week I have to take my daughter to like one of these cheerleading conventions. I already think it. And she starts getting, I go, okay, look, here's the deal. Now wait till you hear this. This is so cool. I think this is so unbelievable how this unfolds. So I asked her if she knows why she's afraid, and she says, no, she does not. Now, in the session, and the hypnosis session for somebody that's listening to this, it's just a matter of, and some people think that, oh my God, they're going to control my mind. I used to think that. So before I tell you this other part, I'm going to let me take that out of the way, and then I'm going to get back to this woman who was afraid to drive where she knew she was going. When someone comes into my office, after I sit and talk with them for a while, I go, okay, let me show you what the session will be like. Now, when I work with clients, I put them in headphones, so like I have a microphone, so I'm like right in their ear. So when I'm talking to them, like I'm right in their head, as opposed to not using a microphone and headphones, I find it much more effective. But anyway, so I say to them, okay, just do what I suggest. So if you're listening to this right now and you're not driving a car, just do the following thing.
Especially if you have a fear of driving. Yeah, go ahead.
Take a deep breath in through your nose and let the air come out slowly. Another deep breath in through your nose. Let the air come out slowly. Now take a deep breath in as deep as you can and hold your breath. Hold, hold, hold. Now when you exhale, allow your eyes to close gently. Good. And allow yourself to start to relax. Now, on the count of three, what you're going to do is you're going to jump up out of your position. You're going to walk over to the corner of the room. You stand on top of your head and scream, I am the greatest person in the world. Now, here's the thing. Here's the thing. Now, listen to this. If you're willing to accept the suggestion, okay, you are in charge. I tell my clients, I'm the guide. I'm only guiding you. You either accept or not accept what I'm going to say. Now, you're here paying me. I'm going to help you, so accept them. Now, you're not willing to accept standing on your head screaming, okay, because you're in charge. That takes that out of it. That takes that out of the equation. Now, wait to hear the story. I think this is so interesting. This woman was afraid to drive. Do you know why you're afraid to drive when you don't know where you're going? No. So in the hypnosis session, once she's very relaxed, I do something called a regression. And the way I set this up is I have her basically feel the feeling of fear, and I trace it back to where it started by counting back, and that's called a regression. So we go back into her mind to when she was a 10-year-old girl, and she's sitting in her parents' car. She's going on vacation to Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, and she's sitting in a car. The parents, it's nighttime, the parents are driving. In the back, sitting with her, is her little friend. The parents get lost. It's at night, and the parents get into a big fight now, and it's one of these fights that's totally out of control. Now, this 10-year-old girl is so fearful, she's in a car. Okay, that's the initializing event, and she's fearful about this being not know where she's going, and her parents, the most powerful people she knows, are freaking out. That's called the initializing event. Now, as a hypnotherapist that knows what they're doing, all I do then is I do therapy on that event. After I do the therapy, which may take 10, 15 minutes, it's not going to take that long, I help her reframe that event. So in her mind, in her subconscious mind, that event on a scale from 1 to 10, instead of being 10 afraid, it's probably 2, 1, or 0. So that changes the entire concept in her mind. Then in the hypnotherapy session, I just affirm that she can drive, and we have her imagine where she's driving. And then what I do after the session, we go out into my car, or her car, whoever's driving her. I have her sit in a car and drive, and we'll go someplace. And then they come back, and that's the session. So, in other words, I prove it to them.
That it worked right then and there.
Yeah.
Right.
They're going to drive someplace right after we're done.
See,
so
that's awesome.
The power.
Yes.
That is the power of hypnotherapy. And I love this stuff. Now, you could go to cognitive therapy, and I'm not downing cognitive therapy. Cognitive therapy can be very beneficial. Okay, very. But it's more talking about your situation for months and months and months and sometimes years. That's not what hypnotherapy is. My job is to get you where you are to where you want to be as fast as possible.
Now, see, I can't imagine anybody who would say, let's see, I could solve my problem in one or two sessions or maybe in 10 years. Let me go for that 10 years more expensive route. You know what I mean? It's like, it's just like a no-brainer, but unless people really have no friend, you know, whatever. They need to see somebody every week, you know? But,
yeah.
So that's
and
just...
Some people really, in their own mind, that's what they need and that's what they want. If that's what they want to do, fine. And there are people out there, and this is a very small percentage, that have their fears and they don't want to change it.
No.
They want to live that way, and that's up to them. That's
right.
Their choice. If they want to live fearful, go ahead, do it. You know?
And that's the other key that people have to realize. When coming to you, they're at a point, hopefully, that they feel, I really am tired of this. I want to get rid of it. Because hypnosis cannot make you do something against your will. And that's important for people to know. Because a lot of people say, oh, because Andy, you also do these shows. I don't know if you're still doing them, but you were doing the hypnosis comedy shows. And
oh, yeah, they're a lot of fun. And when people volunteer for those... They are volunteering at a comedy club.
Exactly.
And they know they're going to be given suggestions to be funny. So, you know, they go along with it. It doesn't mean it's real. Of course it's real. In my show, I have people at the end of the show literally chase me around the room. And they're so into it after it was over, they don't remember actually even doing it. Here's how I explain it to people. Remember when you were a child and you would go out and play with your friends? And you come back in the house and your mom would go, yeah, what were you doing? I was playing. And you don't remember exactly what you're doing. You're just having fun. You're just in the moment. That's kind of what it's like in the show. You know, they're just so into it. That, you know, but then you can make them remember by just saying on a count of three, you're going to remember everything you did.
Right, right. Now, unfortunately, I always have guests on that I love talking to, like, for an hour, but there's never enough time. But, Andy, I do want to let people know that obviously we talked a lot about the hypnosis, and now that you do have the hypnotic comedy show that you do also, but you also run the Comedy Cabaret, which I am lucky to, and we were just there last weekend, one of the comics actually proposed to his girlfriend. Scott Baker proposed to his girlfriend on stage, and everybody gave him a standing ovation, and it was fantastic. But comedy run, but Andy runs these great comedy cabaret. It's literally my favorite comedy clubs to club to perform at.
Thank you very much. Yeah, the comedy cabaret, especially the one in Bucks County in Doylestown, Pennsylvania, that's been there 32 years. It's the quintessential comedy club. The way it's let out, the intimacy. Yep. You can't eat in the room. You're there to laugh and drink, and it's small tables. And you know, we pack them in there. Like I said, 32 years. I've been doing a show in suburban Philly, so it's pretty amazing run.
And 32 years, and it's every Friday and Saturday night. Usually sold out shows. It's above a Mexican restaurant, so you could actually go downstairs, eat, come upstairs, and watch the show. So you don't have to worry about where to go to dinner. You go to dinner downstairs, come upstairs, watch the show.
Yeah.
Now, Andy, if people want to come to the comedy shows and...
ComedyCabaret.com.
And that's...
The word comedy, the word cabaret, CABARET.com.
And DrScarpatti.com. That's
Dr. Scarpatti is just DR. The letter's DR. My last name's Scarpatti. SCARPATI.com. I'm in suburban Philadelphia.
And check them out.
I love helping people with my hypnotherapy, and I love my laugh therapy on the weekends. So, and besides that, as you had mentioned earlier, I have just a fabulous wife who I love and adore. I have three wonderful children are very successful out there.
And you had to get that plugged in. We have to wrap it up. I'm sorry. But so, guys, check out Comedy Cabaret. And if you have anything, any issues, any problems, anything that you want to get over, any challenges in life, also go to drscarpatti.com, and he can help you out with that in just a couple of days. So you can get laughter and you can get fixed by going to Andy Scarpatti. Anyway, you've been listening to Fran's World. I'll be performing tomorrow night at the Knights of Columbus in Carmel, New York. You can check that out. And next week, do my one-woman show called Love, Laughter, and Light in St. James at the Calderon Theater. Thank you so much. We'll be back next month at the end of the month. You're listening to Fran's World on WestchesterTalkRadio.com.
Thank you, listener. Yes, Shark Creative is the company you think of for on-hold messages. If you want to hear how it helps, you can call Mercedes-Benz of New Rochelle, Durante Rentals, Michael Labriola Inc., Oak Ridge Staffing, Emma's Ale House, Northeast Environmental, or just go to sharkcreative.com and listen there. Meanwhile, we've expanded our services as your all-audio resource. On-hold messages, of course, production and placement of radio campaigns on the Pete and others too. And now we also have our very own internet radio station, Westchester Talk Radio. Look for us on Facebook at Westchester Talk. Have us come out to your next event, help you capture audio from your sponsors, associates, friends. Bite into that first impression with Shark Creative. Everything audio. It just sounds better.
Shark Creative.